not complaining. But if there's a problem, you go right to the throne of grace and you just lay it before Him and say, this is my need. This is what's on my heart. This is what's on my mind. This is what, Lord, I want You to handle and take care of. And, you know, as we do that, and we do that as one and two and three, as the ripple goes out from this, you know, the rock into the pond type situation, that we, I believe, will begin and see God's answer to prayers just ratcheted up as well. As much as the things that are happening negatively in the world, we will see things happen on the good side as well in all kinds of ways. It will bring attention to the things of God. We don't really know God is moving until we go through a problem. When everything in our lives are smooth sailing, when everything in the country is going well, we don't need God, or we don't think about God, or God is not really on the forefront of our thoughts every day. But God wants us as a people, as His people, we should be on the forefront of, He should be on the forefront of our thoughts every hour. Every waking moment, we should be thinking of God, praising God, talking to God, thanking God, looking to God, saying, wonderful days, Lord. What this has happened. Oh, this is beautiful. That's a nice looking bird. What a nice color. Oh, there's the robin. Spring's coming. I haven't seen a robin yet, so. We're just getting ready, though. I think that's a sign, right? When robins come. But, you know, we look for those signs coming to give us encouragement, don't we? We look at those things in the natural. We see nature. We see this. We see that. So we see that, oh, it's coming, changing. There's change taking place. So as we look at that, I believe we're going to have to be dealing much, much more in our spirit than what we've done in the past. Because we've got to see these things in the spirit and be prepared for those things in the spirit so that we know what's coming. You can't be prepared if you don't know what's out there. If you just go through life, shut down, close down, just worried about your own little problems and just worrying about what you're doing through and going through and things in your life, and you don't consider the things of the greatness of what's going on, you begin to be narrow-focused and you don't see what's happening. And before you know it, what you thought you had is gone because we don't pay attention. We can see that in our walk individually with God. If we close down our walk with God to the point where we just focus on these little things here and there, we don't realize the enemy is stealing other things away from us because we're not paying attention to the whole situation. We're not looking around 360 or whatever, you know. We're just looking one here and one over here. And while we're doing that, the devil's, because it's saying he's going to come steal, to kill, steal, and destroy these things. But we've got to be one up on him, and we already are one up on him with Christ as our Lord and Savior and with God as our God. And the one up is that we have already won the battle. But he just wants to be a thorn in our side, a burr in your saddle, just to, you know, make you just, you know, every once in a while, you know, have a skip in your step or something, because he's just wanting to trip you up. And he's going to try to trip you up as much as he can so that you will take your eyes off of your source, God, and take a look and put your eyes on your problem, which is the devil. You don't want to put your eyes on the devil. No. You don't want to give him any attention. You don't want to entertain him, because that's what he's wanting. You to entertain him, to worry about him, to be looking at him, to be running from him. If I'm going to run anywhere, I'm going to run to the throne of grace with boldness. Because in a time of need, my people that have a need, come there. And I can look out over everyone here, and I can tell you without even asking, you've got a need. You may not know it right now. You might think it's all okay, but you've got a need in some part of your life. Whether it's you need to get stronger with God, you need to have Christ more into your life. There's some things in your life that you need to get rid of. There's some things in your life that you need to add to. There's something in you that you've got a need. Amen. We've got to know what that need is. And whatever that is, we can just go to God. And so today, we want to look at some things here. We've got to continually follow up on this. I think this is something that's got to be before us for some time of understanding. We can't just touch upon some of these subjects and then go on to the next thing and then touch upon this and then go on to something else until we get it where at. Deep down into your spirit, to where you eat, you think, you breathe, you drink, whatever it is, you do that with boldness. that you can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help us in a time of need. I don't want you going to God timid. I don't want you going to God cowardly and thinking that you don't deserve it. You do deserve being able to go to God because Jesus died for you and set you in that course, and by his righteousness we are going there, amen. If we don't do that to God, we've pretty well told God that the death of Jesus and what Jesus was all about really didn't amount to a whole lot. Oh, he did a little bit here and there, but you know, he didn't do it all, or I don't feel totally empowered by him. Do you feel empowered by Jesus and what he's done for you and where he's brought you from and what he's put you through to go into the Holy of Holies? Praise God that we don't need priests and rabbis and all these clerics out there or whoever to take what I've got and take it into God in a secret place into behind a curtain and take it to an altar once a year. I can go to my Lord and my God every day, 10 times a day if I need to, for forgiveness or for asking for direction or whatever the case might be, that I can do these things by who I am because of what Christ has done. We at times don't take seriously what Christ has done. We think it's just a nice story and it happened way long ago and it really doesn't affect me, and so much of these things are happening. But it does affect us today. What is boldness? Remember, you can just, what is that? Outspokenness, unreserved utterance, freedom of speech, frankness, candor, you know, a cheerful courage. When you're bold, be bold, be strong. The opposite is the cowardness, the timidity, the fear. And here again, I sense, and we've been there, and I've been there, and we as a church, and there's other churches I'm sure that are there, that at times we have sometimes cowered down in the things of dealing with God. In that spiritual battle, in these things that are happening, we look at it and, you know, it's like, oh, we look like grasshoppers to the problem. We don't want to look like grasshoppers. We are victorious, amen, to where we can overcome those situations. So when you've got a problem in your life and you may be, you know, the Spirit, you need to send out some spies to find out what's going on. Why is this happening? Then you find out, man, this problem is really big. And they come back and says, well, okay, your spies in the Spirit or whatever, that you've set this out and you're looking at this and you're saying, oh my goodness. How many here at one time or another used to think your problem was big? That your problem was bigger than you? Sometimes, oh no, this could be, you know, anti-religious, but your problem at times was bigger than God. Sometimes, guys, we've done that. We've cowered down. We've looked at that problem, we've looked at that situation, and we said, oh God, how is this going to happen? I don't see any answer to this. I don't see any direction in this. I don't see any victory in this. Oh, it's so big. No matter what it is that you're going through, we can, you know, we can always make a mountain out of a molehill when it's our life and something's affecting us. So you look at your life and just think of some things maybe in the past that you really at one time thought, oh man, this is pretty big. I don't know if God's really going to be able to help me in this. But you got to believe when you go and you send out that spiritual spy and you're beginning to get close to God, that you've got to realize that you are big in that situation, that God is big, amen, and that's who we're with. And so we've got to be careful that we don't cry, you know, in cowardness and timidity. My goodness, if you look at the Old Testament and when they came back, what would have happened if they didn't go into that land? And the thing is that we've got to look at is there was more speaking how bad it was than those that spoke how good it was or how they could get into it. And so that also tells me at times you probably could be a minority in your thinking and things that you're dealing with God and what you're going through as a situation or what's come upon you. There could be those around you that say, well, I don't know how you're going to deal with this. I don't think it's going to be possible. I think, are you sure you're hearing from God? Are you sure this? Is that going to happen? Are you really counting the cost? Have you looked at this? Have you looked at that? You'll have probably 10 times more people want to tell you how bad and probably it's not going to be a victorious thing for you And you might only have one or two that says, yeah, but you can take it. Because God is there with you. And God is sending you there. And where God sends you and where God places you, He will protect you. And where He's wanting you to go, if you can't get there through your own powers and your own abilities, hallelujah, you're going to get through it with God's power and God's ability. He's going to work through you anyway. But we've got to know who we are in Christ. We've got to understand that. We've got to be bold. We've got to be understanding that we can deal with these things and not have timidity with the devil, not be cowering down and thinking that this is not going to come about. We've got to stand and stand on God's word. Linda's brought Linda's word up here, and not Linda's word, but God's word. Linda brought God's word before us, and I've shared that before, and I've heard others say it, and I think she said it in the past, at times and times of our prayer times, is that when you find these scriptures and it's talking, you know, in others and about other ones in the Bible, you need to put your name in that place. You need to personalize that, because this word of God is a personal word of God. If nothing else, it was written exactly and perfectly for Tim, myself, and nobody else. It's all for everybody else, but I'm going to claim this word for me if you're not. If you're not going to claim the word in your life and take His word and make it personal in your life, I'll take it. Because this is His word to Tim specifically. It's also specifically to you and to you and to you. But if we only come to God in vagueness, in plurallessness type thing of thinking like, well, it's for all of us, and it is for all of us, but until you come into a relationship with Christ, and you've got that boldness of understanding that you can all of a sudden start putting your name in where he or she or they. And I think when you begin to do that, and that's what fires me up, but a lot of times is that's where that power and that's where that excitement, that's where that boldness comes from, is because all of a sudden, maybe in the spirit, you start seeing your name in there. It's like, well, how do they know my name to put it in there? I don't know. It just happened to be there. But that's where we take, and I think a lot of people take God's word and they keep it very generic and very lucid. And it's just something to read, and it's got a good story, and it is powerful, and it, oh, that was so wonderful back then, and all these wonderful things. But then when I go to the other side of that and I start reading those things, I don't care if it's even in the Old Testament. That's pretty old. But I can still put my name way back there and pull that happened way back there into 2015, and I could put my name in there and say, oh, Lord, it's going to be okay. You're there with me, just like you were with the children of Israel, just like you were with Moses and Joshua. And all the men and even the women that he had something to do and work through them, they stepped up. Are you going to step up? Are you going to stay sitting down? And just hopefully you just flow through this thing with as the least of amount of scrapes and you know, abrasions as you can make it, you know. Let's see here. We had talked about the high priest last week, and who is our high priest? Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just want to look in three areas today, in referencing some of this boldness, that we have boldness, and the next slide is what? We have boldness because of Christ and our faith. You got to have Christ. You got to have faith. That's an area that we can, the devil will attack your faith. And he will try to put doubts. And he'll try to put questions. He'll try to put watered down things of this, that, or the other about, are you really sure you're strong in faith? Well, if you're really that strong in faith, why did you call the doctor? Well, don't let those things come to you. Put them down. Hallelujah. No, they'll say, well, I called the doctor so he can verify and give me a word that God's saying, you know, that God has healed this, or that God is working on manifesting his healing in me. And you know, sometimes the only way the world knows those things is when maybe man says, well, it was there, but now it's gone, and I don't know how it happened. Well, I know how it happened. It's because of God, my healer. You know, so it's not by, you know, oh, ye of little faith when you call the doctor or take medication or anything of that nature. Those are things that are there to take. Amen. But when we do some of those things, it's amazing how the devil will try to get in there and just play with your mind And to try to beat you up on that is like, well, then you don't have much faith, Tim, because you're taking that medication. Or you did that because you had a cold and sniffles and you took that over-the-counter medication. Didn't you pray about it? Didn't you lift it up to God? Now, we all have that level that we've got to answer and understand. But because you do that does not make you any less faithful. And that's where the devil wants to even attack us in our churches and all and things of that nature. And then really what's bad too, if you're like a Word of Faith church and all that, it's like, man, you know, that could really, you know, give you a double whammy because that's, well, aren't you a Word of Faith and don't you speak the Word and you're healed because of by His stripes you're healed and all these things and I am and I am, I am and I am. But how do we know how God works and moves through these things? Why is it that you can have you can have five people there, they can all take the same medication, and maybe three of them are healed with it and the others aren't, and the other, you know, they're praying, and God uses all these things. And I don't have an answer for it. Only God is God and how He moves through our lives, and I don't have an answer why some of it takes and some of it doesn't, and why this happened and why that doesn't. It's not really for me to figure out. And that's another area that the devil will try to get you to start thinking about. Because if he can try to get you to start thinking about all this, well, what about this? What about that? What if that happened with this? That here again, you take your eyes off of God. And you put yourself and your eyes on the problem. And you're trying to figure it all out. I would say just turn it over to God in prayer with boldness and trust that He's heard you. And if you know that He's heard you, so be it then. If you got to sit there and say, well, I prayed about it. I hope He heard me. I wonder if He heard me. I, you know, all these things. Well, then, you know, you're going to still be walking in that doubt of even if God is there and hearing your prayers. And He is there. He is hearing your prayers. And then we say, Lord, let Your will be done. But there's so many things that we as man don't understand in God's Word even. But yet you'll try to find man out there trying to put some kind of a spin on it to make it feel good or not good or why it happened, why it didn't happen. You know, you've got to take God's Word at face value. And we've got to realize and understand that God's ways are not my ways. His ways or His thoughts are not my thoughts. Now, hopefully I want my thoughts and things to come into agreement with His and all that, you know, so that I'm on the same page or that path, you know. But there are those things that we don't understand and we don't know. But we've got to be careful that we don't allow those things to beat us up, to take us off of the focus of what God is and who God is in our life and the abilities that we have. And so as we look at this, and we're looking at the boldness that we have because of who? Christ. How many here has Christ in their life? Received Christ. Amen. Well, and it's because of, well, you can go back to the other slide there. Back. So with that, we have that boldness and what? In whom we have boldness and access with what? Confidence. Confidence is another word for boldness as well. There's some things that you can kind of turn and change, interchange words, but in the New King James, it's boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. It's not faith in you. It's not faith in your doctor, per se. You may go to the doctor, and he may prescribe things, or he or she, and they might operate on you. They might do these things, you know. But I put my faith totally in God to work through man, to work through that, to work through that medicine, to work through the hands of that surgeon, or whatever the case might be, because I truly believe that all knowledge comes from God. And that God is totally increasing the knowledge of this time in our lives, just craziness in knowledge. I mean, I don't know how people can envision these things and invent these things. Do you? I'm looking at it and go, how in the world did they come up with that? And it's somehow, some way, God just dropped something in them, their thoughts, their thinking. You know, the thing is, they may not even be a Christian that we would think as followers of Christ. But somehow God will use all men and women to get things accomplished. And so I'm astounded at times as just how things are just getting so, and you can't even keep up with the age of technology. I mean, it just wears you out just trying to comprehend it. About the time I've got something figured out on a computer or on the phone or something like that, it's antiquated. and I got to start all over again. It's like I got to the point where it's just like I can't even keep up with that. I don't even want to try anymore. Just like, woo, you know, if I hit the key just right and it works, hey, how did I do it? I don't know. I hit this and it worked. I don't know. May not be able to do it again, but it happened that one time, and I feel like, hey, I'm one up. All right, you know. I'm a technology wizard, you know. But I believe God is so much, and it's the times that we're living in is how things are expanding and the ideas and the thoughts and a lot of it in medical science and the things that have come about. So praise God for scientists. Praise God for medicine. Praise God for doctors and for hospitals and everything else. Praise God for police departments that take care of us and keep us safe. Praise God for fire departments that help us if our house catches on fire. Praise God for paramedics that are there if we have a situation where we need help out on the street or at our home. Praise God for all of this. Hallelujah. If the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, do you think all that is from the devil then? No. Those are all things that through man and wisdom and knowledge and God just funneling this information down to us to help sustain life, to help increase life, to help make life go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. We have boldness. Now in the New Living, it'll say, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Think of that. It's kind of like awe-inspiring to think that we can enter into God's presence because of Jesus Christ, His blood, our faith. There's a lot of things that have to work for that to be accomplished, right? It's easy to speak the words in the game, okay? We'll just have boldness and have this and you can do that. Those are all good things, and yes, those are things we need to know, but you've got to act upon them. You've got to activate them in your life. You've got to take what God says and use what God says to benefit your life, and you've got to follow Him and what He tells you to do, because when He begins to share things with you and you do the opposite, He doesn't like that. Man, just, my goodness, just go back to Exodus in those times. And everything that He did back then was for a plan and for a purpose that Moses didn't quite understand. We kind of understand it, thank God, because we've come a long way out past that time. And we can read the whole Bible for what's happened and go, well, now I know why that happened. That was pretty easy now. Gee, Moses, why didn't you figure that out? Well, because he was living it at the time. But when he was living it at the time, he had a relationship with God. And God chose him. God came to him. Remember, we looked at that in one of the scriptures that time, back around Exodus 3:1, when God called Moses. What's going to happen? Or what happened when God called you? Has God called you? Will He call you? Yes, yes, yes. Because we're all here for a purpose. Young or old, where you're at in age, thinking you're getting a late start in this walk with faith and walk with the things of God, thinking, well, 2/3 of my life have passed me by. I'm not going to really be much good for the kingdom of God. That's a lie from the devil. The devil will tell you that. Oh, you're too far along. You're not going to be able to accomplish things. Yes, you will. If you search God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being, with all your strength, follow God. Be bold in those things that you know who you are, not because of who I was born, you know, where my background comes from or my parents or what nationality or anything like that. It's not all of that at all. It's because of my relationship with Jesus by faith. Now we'll find out too, it talks about here. Let me drop down. Oh. In the Amplified, it says this, in whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have the boldness, that's the courage and the confidence of free access. Now, how about that? You know, back when the internet just first started coming online and all these things and they were trying to hook you up into it and all that, they'd always say, hey, for 3 months, we're going to give you free access. Now, whenever the world has given you free access into something, have you ever just set it aside, not used it? Or have you used it to see what it was like? The world will give you temporarily free access, but it's going to cost you down the road. Bah! Well, how do I know that? Because these companies will give you expanded programming, and then all of a sudden they go, boop, okay, free access is over, now it's going to cost you. You want it? Well, now I'm addicted to it. I got to have it. You know, now I got to have the sports channel. Now I got to have this. Now I got to have all that, you know. They let you have it. The world knows, the devil, God of this world, he knows well enough to know how long it takes for you to get into a habit of getting into where you need something after a while, and they give you that time frame of 3 months, 2 weeks, whatever, to try this out, and then it's like, well, I can't go back. I've really enjoyed using this accessibility. I've enjoyed the cell phone with this feature. My shoes wasn't tight. You know, I used to tell people that, you know, we're coming along the lines of cell phones and all that, and they had the flip phones and no data plans and all. It was like my counsel to them was, stay there. Don't go any further. Don't try it. Even though they want to give you an access for a period of time, don't go there, because once you've got it hooked up and you're using it, it's hard to take it away. It's like, it's that free access that the world gives you. Well, look at this. We've got that with Christ. My goodness, in the Amplified, that courage and that confidence. We have boldness, courage, and confidence of free access. That's an unreserved approach to God with freedom without fear. An unreserved approach. Unreserved. Does that tell me, I don't know, I'm just thinking, does that mean that, you know, I don't have to make an appointment to go see God next week? Amen. You know, Wednesday's not, nothing going on Wednesday, 11 o'clock. God, can I come and visit with you Wednesday of next week at 11 o'clock? And God's got his appointment book out there going, okay. You know, no, unreserved. I can go, you can go at what? Anytime. Say this, I can go before God at any time. The devil don't want you to know that. The devil's going, oh, great. The cat's out of the bag. Now something, when I aggravate them this week and all, rather than thinking they got to call the pastor or call the prayer team or whatever, they can just go cut through the chase and just go right to the guy, the man, the main man, God. And that's what we can do because of Christ, the blood, the access, the faith that we have through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Mm-mm-mm. Because of Christ and by faith, we can enter directly into the presence of God through prayer, prayer, prayer. Plug in to the power of prayer. The one thing that is after, probably the one thing that is so powerful after receiving Christ in our life is the next level of what? Prayer. It's one of the top ones. It's got to be one of the top five or the top three. Because prayer is talking and communicating to God, with God, 24/7. That's how you find out what God has for you. That's what you find out, or how you find out things of God for you, the direction, the strength, the things that he will help you with, is by talking and communicating with God. How sad it is that where is our prayer life? Where is our prayer focus? Where is the time that we spend with God? Now you answer to yourself throughout the day, how often, how many times do you talk to God? How many times in a week? I hope it's increased. I hope it's more than 20 times a day that you're talking to God. I hope there's something always going, something talking. And I'm not saying you got to have a long, drawn-out prayer. I'm just saying, how many times do you just say, hey, God, I love you. God, you're awesome. To me, that's a prayer. That's just talking. That's just lifting. That's worshiping. That's praising him. Sometimes we think, well, if I go into prayer with God, that means I'm going to have to, you know, pull my car over and I got to stop, or I've got to stop at my desk at my work and I got to shut down everything. No, you can just continue to be worshiping and praising him even as you're going through your job. Just in your thoughts, you know. Your mind is going to think of something anyway. If you're at work and you're on your task at work and it's Wednesday and you got something going on Friday that you're really excited to get to, probably on Wednesday you're working, but your mind's thinking about Friday already. So if you can do that, why, you know, if you can multitask your thoughts, why can't you multitask your thoughts to the point of do your job and worship God at the same time? Good. But because of this, so don't be afraid of God. Talk to him about everything. The next slide says that we have boldness by what? Having what? What's, is the next slide up there? The blood that Christ shed for me way back on Calvary. Because of Jesus, because of our faith, because of the blood, all these things work together for dynamite power. For a child of God to just, you're dangerous. How many here are dangerous in being a child of God? You know, you got the devil better look out for you, because you're dangerous, man. You got the Holy Spirit, that dunamis power. You got dynamite in your life. Hallelujah. How many walk around like with dynamite, you know, to go through problems, to deal with situations, you know? Those are the things as children of God that we have. But now here it is in the New King James. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. The ability to enter into the holiest of holies, that Christ had taken that curtain. And because of that, now we can enter it in through Christ. It says here in the Old Testament times, we shared last week a little bit about it, but in the most holy of place, the temple, it was sealed from view by a curtain, and only the high priest would be able to enter into that area, and that would be, you know, one time a year to rid of the sins. But Jesus' death removed that curtain, and all believers may now walk into God's presence at any time. How powerful is that? You know, if we were still back in the Old Testament where we could only have forgiveness of our sins and go to God only one time in a year, I could understand why we may be having some problems in our lives and our walk with God at this time. But because of what Christ has done, and the veil was rent from what? The top down, wasn't it? When he was on the cross and all the things happened and Jesus died, that veil in that temple just rent from the top down, and he made that way to where we can go into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah for that. By what he did. Although he said, Father, not my cup, you know, but let's see, how did he say that? If you can take this cup from me, you know, do so, but not my will, your will be done. You know. But Jesus fulfilled that so that we can sit here today in the future ahead for everybody that comes after us, knowing that they have that ability to enter into the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Christ, because of Jesus Christ, because of the faith that we have. And then, because the Lord is our helper, that we have this boldness. It tells me that I'm not there. You are not on your own. You're not by yourself. You're not dealing with these situations in your life all by yourself. And I'm happy about that, aren't you? That there's someone there with me by that of the Spirit of God. Because Jesus said that I must go so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come. And so we do not walk alone in this life. Whatever you're going through financially, whatever you're going through with health, or whatever it might be that's problems out there, you've got to realize that you're not alone. The Spirit is with you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he's going to quicken that mortal body. Well, if that same Spirit, you know, that raised Christ from the dead, if that same Spirit is with you, doesn't that tell you that you're not alone? And because of all these things and all this thing that God has done, the package deal that God has given us. Remember that time a few months back I talked about the bundle. Everybody wants to be bundled. It's cheaper by the bundle, you know. Well, God was the first one that ever came up with the bundle, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the bundle that we all need to be aware of. And I tell you what, the price has already been paid. There's free access. It's not limited. And it's always going to be there as long as you're a child of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not just a teaser. You know, the things that have happened, the things that God has done for us, He's not teasing us to follow Him and to follow that access into where He's at. It's there for us to use and to use it boldly and to be able to know who we are. And when we go there, we got to know who we are. If you know who you are when you're standing before God, you're going to know who you are when you're standing and talking to the devil, if you ever have to talk to the devil. You're not going to back down from the devil. You're going to stand your ground. You're going to look at him. You're going to point your finger at him, whatever you need to do. And you're just going to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's what my Lord has done. That's what my Lord said to you, and you had to obey that. And get out of here. You just got to get to the point where you just tell him to get out of there. Go bother somebody else. And there's a lot more people out there that he'd like to bother. But as long as he knows he's, you know, a problem in you, and you're just weighted down with that, and you're always just, and I'm not saying you talk to the devil every day. You don't talk to the devil except maybe once a month, if that, or whatever the case is. You just don't give him the time of day. You just continue focus on the things of God. And as we focus on those things of God, chances are, when the devil's starting to come to attack you, we don't know it, but the Spirit of God and everything's working, we've got protection there, hallelujah, that we got, he'll place angels around you. And we don't even know that there's an attack coming, because you know why? My attack's coming from over here, but you know, my God is right there. And I'm focused on him. He's right there. I'm looking at him. I don't need to be worried about all this stuff coming around me and all that, because he's placed angels around me. And they're going to counteract whatever the devil's doing. And then I just need to continue to stay in worship, stay in praise, stay in thanking him, stay in glorifying him, because that's what God wants to hear. And these things will hit and fall away. You know, that used to be that mobster, they called it the Teflon. I can't think of who it was, but Teflon guy, whatever, because, you know, as much as the police and all that were trying to always get him on stuff, on racketeering and all that, nothing stuck. Because he always had a way out, and he had, you know, high-priced lawyers that could get him out of any kind of thing with the law. But, you know, he had Teflon, man. Teflon is good. You know, cook eggs in it and all that. It's really neat. You can just flip them over without any kind of problem, man. Teflon is the most amazing thing that was ever. That's probably one of the, right up there, one of those great inventions, you know, Teflon. But as that is with us, we could have that, you know, think of the blood of Christ as it's, I'm covered in the blood of Christ, hallelujah. It's like that of Teflon. Nothing's going to stick to me, you know. Things that the devil wants to do, things that the devil wants to attack me with, it's just going to hit me and slip off, amen. May not even get that close to even get on me, because the angels are protecting around me, that hedge of protection. And it's all because I'm not focusing on him. I'm not worried about that. I'm not thinking about this. I keep my eyes on him. Because he knows that if you're keeping your eyes on him, he will do the rest. But you be bold in that and know who you are in those things. So, and it says in Hebrews 13:6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amplified says, so we take comfort and encouraged and confidently and boldly say. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say this. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Something to kind of keep close to your heart now, with so many things going on in this world and things happening around the globe. Just wacky things and terrorism type situations and just terrible things. But we don't want to be an alarmist. You know, and those things, we want to know who we are in Christ. We want to be able to stay that course. We want to have that strength, and that strength is his strength in us. That we don't, some of these, you just have to be so cautious that we don't give so much attention to these things, but we just give our attention to God. And that we can walk in that relationship, and that we can enter into that holy of holies. Because of that great high priest, Jesus Christ, has made that way. You guys are wonderful and powerful, and have the abilities that we just don't even know yet, do we? You've not tapped into the total strength that God has in you. You know, we're all probably just maybe going on maybe, 30% of power that God has for us, because of things that we're doing and lacking, or the enemy tells you you're not worthy, you're not able, you can't do that. You know, we've got to get to that point to where we're powering up and getting that much more power of God in our lives to where we can be strong in these things that happen. And then that's going to share with others, and others are going to see that. And it's not to boast, it's not to be prideful, but they're going to see differences in the things that you do, things that you handle, the things that you say, and that you're not going to be afraid. You stand your ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So be bold and be strong. We shared last week, and there are instances throughout the Bible to where individuals were bold with God and how they approached God. And they only approached Him because they had that relationship with Him, and God was talking to them, and God wanted them to do things and impressed upon them to do this and to follow this, and you're going to do that. And when that happened, I felt they developed that boldness to where they could go to God and say, well, what about this? Or why did you allow this? Or these people are this? And why did you do that? And just wipe them out. I don't want them. Or whatever the case might be. And God was always there, and they always had conversations. And it's just a powerful thing just to go back and to read some of those things. And the dialogue that Moses had, especially with God. I mean, my goodness. That poor guy. We also want to prepare for communion today and think what Christ has done for you. We just went through, if nothing else, the blood, entering into the Holy of Holies. He's provided us that ability to do all these things because of what was done back on the cross. And so when His Word says, to do these things and to do this in the area of the communion and that and this time of remembering and do this until I return. He's just wanting us to remember all that He has done for us. And it behooves us to do